Welcome to Pure Sex Radio, training men, educating women. Are you ready to get real and start living each day in purity? This dynamic program is designed to educate, encourage, and equip listeners with the tools necessary for living a life of sexual purity. Pure Sex Radio brings you the best in mobile talk radio. Listen to real-life struggles, learn how to overcome lust, pornography, and sex addiction, and get serious about purity. Your hosts for Pure Sex Radio are Jonathan Doherty and Stephen Cervantes. Jonathan is the director of Be Broken Ministries and founder of the Gateway to Freedom Workshop for Men. Stephen is the founder of the Hope Counseling Center. Visit us online at puresexradio.com. And now, please welcome Jonathan and Stephen on Pure Sex Radio.
Good day, radio listeners. Welcome to this week's edition of the Pure Sex Radio broadcast. We're glad to have you here with us. My name is Jonathan, and I'm here with Stephen. Hey, Stephen, how you doing?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Good. Well, I just wanted to let you folks know that we have a workshop for men. It's a three-day intensive for men. It's called Gateway to Freedom, and we do these workshops periodically throughout the year. And I just want to make mention of it so that you know that it's available. You might even hear that we have this. We have an ad that runs every now and then letting people know about it, and that's got the specific date. But, you know, I just want to make a comment about this because we see such amazing things happen at these workshops where men can come together and be in a safe place and be honest and vulnerable and real and also connect in ways that maybe they've never connected on levels that they didn't dream were possible, and also to get just amazing help for wherever they are in their struggle with purity. And so if you'd like to get more information about our Gateway to Freedom workshop, you can simply go to gatewaymen.com. That's gatewaymen.com, or you can call our office at our toll-free number, which is 1-800-49-PURITY. Again, that's 1-800-49-PURITY. I just wanted to make mention of that because I think it's a powerful resource that that is really helpful for men. Well, Stephen, let's continue on here. We, in a previous broadcast, we talked about a retreat that we had done for actually the alumni of the Gateway to Freedom workshop, and we had some great comments from these guys because one of the exercises that we had them do during the week or during the weekend was we'd asked them, what is the number one obstacle that you have faced in your recovery, and what is the number one insight that you've gained along the way? And so we went through. We had 12 guys that made comments like this, and we got their permission, and we're not going to use any names. But last time we talked about these guys, we went through 7 of these guys' comments, and so we're gonna pick up on the last few guys' comments, so that we can again just kind of see what happens in a guy who's been working for a while, a guy who's been journeying for a while on this purity journey. What are some of the obstacles that they face, and then what are some of the insights that they've gained? So why don't you take us away?
So we left off after male number 7's comment. So if you're just picking up this program, I'm starting with number 8. You'll have to go back and listen to the previous program. But male number 8, when asked, what are some of the obstacles to your personal growth, to growth at this time, as you're going forward, he said, I have to tell you 4 words. And these 4 words are significant words because I trip in these areas. My ego is huge. I think about me a lot. I like me. I do things that please me. The me in our relationship is pretty important. He said, that's closely followed by pride. And when I don't get what I want, anger happens. And then sometimes I go into isolation. So I have to watch my ego, manage my pride, get a handle on my anger, and try not to go into isolation as a solution.
Well, these could kind of be laid out as just a general way that a lot of sex addicts manage their lives. Is, you know, part of the paradigm of sexual addiction is self in the center and everything else revolving around self. And so the ego pride thing, and then of course the anger, when you've got, there's a lot of blocked goals in sexual addiction. Because we
explain that blocked goals.
We've mentioned before how lust and the things of pornography and sexual addiction, they promise positive things. They promise on things that they can't deliver on. They promise that you'll be ultimately fulfilled. They promise that you'll have ultimate satisfaction. They'll promise that you'll be at peace in your world if you just had these experiences, and it doesn't deliver. So it creates this sort of atmosphere of frustration. And then certainly isolation is a huge part of it, because in order for such a type of addiction to thrive, you've got to be able to get away from relationships. You've got to be able to hide, and you've got to be able to disconnect, and you've got to be able to have all these secret compartments to your life. So he's really hit on a lot of the really major obstacles that come to a guy's recovery.
And he said, if I have to admit to you what I'm learning, it's another weakness, but that it's a weakness that if I work on has great potential to turn my life around. He said, I need to keep working on intimacy. Wow, haven't we heard that word before?
Right.
Don't we start to sound like we're stuttering or something? Intimacy, intimacy, intimacy here. Because he says, closeness is difficult and managing tender moments, I'm a little klutzy. And this whole idea I hear about in church about oneness, I know it's where I'm supposed to be going. And that's my hope and that's my insight that I have a goal, but it's still hard.
Well, you know, we may be repeating ourselves, but I think that's not a bad thing. What they say, you know, repetition is the mother of skill. So if you repeat these things, and one thing I hope that people will realize as they listen to the previous broadcast as well as this one about these particular guys, is that every single one of these guys, the details of their stories are different. But what you'll start finding is what they're learning along the way about themselves, about relationships, and about purity is very similar.
Yes.
And I like to tell this to our guys all the time. We're more alike than we are different, regardless of the details of our stories. And I like this, you know, this intimacy thing. I need to learn about intimacy. I need to learn what it is to truly be intimate. That's ultimately every single guy who honestly engages recovery from sexual addiction will have to embrace this question. Because like I said before, sexual addiction is not about sex. It's an intimacy disorder. So if you're really going to recover, so to speak, from sexual addiction, you're going to have to engage the intimacy question. How do I really dialogue and engage and invest in another human being?
Male number 9 said kind of the same thing with a different twist, or a very specific twist to it. He said, I need to learn my wife. I need to learn her needs, how she processes things, what she wants. I really need to take intimacy down like a funnel from the wide open top intimacy down to the bottom most point, the narrowest point, and make it this. I need to learn my wife.
And now he was saying this is as his greatest obstacle in his recovery, that learning his wife was a huge obstacle because, you know, here is this woman that he's lived with and he doesn't understand her. He doesn't know her. And so a huge obstacle for him is as he's put down his addiction, as he's put aside his pornography and put aside all those things, he's looking at this woman that he's lived with for a while and going, this is an obstacle because I don't know you. I don't know.
Wow.
I don't know your process. I don't know how you think. I don't know how you work. You know,
I haven't learned you. That's right. Yeah. Yes. He said his insight is that God is powerful. God is grand and big and powerful. And he is able to even love the unlovable.
And my hope is in this that also as he sees that God is powerful, that means that this guy can learn his wife. This guy can understand her and engage in her processes of how she functions and how she thinks and how she works. And I think that's part of what he was understanding was, I look at certain things in my recovery and I go, whoa, that's big. That's, I don't know how to over. And then right behind that, he goes, but God is powerful. God is powerful.
Ooh.
I can keep pressing on.
That's good.
I can learn my wife. I can engage yes. her.
You were talking about the Gateway to Freedom workshops, and we were doing one several months back, and we had just been talking about how we have to press in to know our spouses better, and it's like one guy had this light bulb moment. He just raised his hand. He was full of excitement and energy, and he said, I get it. I'm supposed to go home and love my wife. I wanted to roll on the floor, because how many times had he heard that in sermons and on radio programs, go love your wife. But he finally...
The wires connected.
Yes,
finally, yeah.
Exactly. The defensiveness dropped. The eyes became clear, less clouded. The ears opened up. His being could put the pieces together. I cannot... This is a gentleman who's a little bit older, and he said, I get it. I'm supposed to go home and love my wife. And I just smiled from ear to ear, because that's why we do these... We have to be patient.
And that's why we repeat, right? That's why we repeat things over and over, because sometimes it just may not be the timing for a connection to be made, you know?
For you slow, gentle men out there. This is bad, Jonathan.
That is bad. That is bad. We're gonna get phone calls on that.
Coming out of his chair to slap me. You know, go home and love your wife. Thank you for attending the Stephen Cervantes training program.
Oh, man.
sorry.
Okay. I'm going to tell on you here, though, because Stephen was telling a little bit of his story at one of our recent events, and he made the statement himself that he said, yeah, you know, when I was in school, he said, I'm what made the top half possible.
Now, let me tell right so you can get it. Yeah. They were talking about where you were in school and what your class rating was. And so, you know, you got your smart kids and then you have your other kids. And when people ask me, I say, I was in that part of the class that made the top half of the class possible.
So our listeners just need to take all that into consideration when they just think about your last statements here.
When I start talking real slow, like I'm from Texas.
Oh, man. Okay, let's rein it
number
in.
Number 10. Male number 10's obstacle was, it's hard to believe that I can be known and loved. Mm. I'm a mess. I know I'm a mess. And if people could see this trail of destruction, deception, lying, conning, and you know, fantasizing, I don't know that I can really unpack this. It's been an obstacle all my life. My secrets are my secrets.
You know, that's a challenge for a lot of guys, to think that everything about them can be known. And that they can still be loved in that. I think that's an obstacle for not just a recovering sex addict, but really a lot of folks just have that struggle to think, you mean to tell me that it's possible that someone could know everything about me and still move toward me? And that's why I think sometimes it's hard for people to embrace the gospel of God, of Christ, because, yeah, he knows everything about you and he died for you. You know, it's almost too unbelievable. That would be the case, but that was an obstacle for it, and it's an obstacle for him in his recovery.
And I think he flips the coin over, because he said, here's the insight. I am deeply loved by God. I am truly loved by God. And my wife even likes me.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that the essence of what we need as men?
Well, I'm sitting here getting chill bumps, because I think that's hope. That's what hope looks like right there. Here's a guy who has an obstacle that says that is one of despair. I can't believe that anybody could know me and love me.
Yes.
And yet the insight he's gaining in his recovery is God does know me and love me. And as a bonus, my wife even likes me. It's like, you know, hope just got breathed into this guy's life that he can be loved.
that's the real stuff, right? That's not the fantasy stuff. It's not the image on a piece of paper of a young, attractive, looking, longing eyes looking at you going, I want you. No, it is knowing the truth that there is a Father and a Son and a Spirit that all line up that say, we love you. We paid the price. We will point you down the pathway. The price is paid. Your ticket's bought. Mm-hmm. If you'll walk the pathway, incredible things will happen. And we'll throw in a wife while you're at it, and she'll love you.
Mm.
Wow. That sounds kind of like cheapening women at the end there. But I mean, that's the vision. One man, one woman.
No, but it's like I mean, hey, the Bible says that a wife is a blessing.
That's right.
You know, that's what
and
you
that's,
meant.
That's how that was meant. And you get a wife that loves you on the journey. It's like, wow, I get hope and vision in heaven, and I get a wife too?
Yeah.
It's like, wow.
It's like the commercials. But wait, there's more, you know?
That's right. We're going to double the offer. Mail number 11 said, it's hard to keep making progress. I get to a point that I just want to rest and stop and give it up. Go, okay, this is good enough. I mean, this is a good enough place. Okay, this is a better place than I was at before. This whole idea of make progress, keep moving. Sometimes I'm not very consistent at that.
Well, and I think this is along the lines too of one of the things that we talk about in the workshop is that, you know, a life of purity is not one of perfection but of progression. And I think one of the obstacles that this guy was having was, you know, continuing to progress or have a progression mentality and be consistent in that. Because sometimes it's easy to just gravitate towards rules and, hey, you just got to be perfect. And if you're not perfect, then let's just dump all this shame on our lives. And so one of the obstacles I think this guy was facing was, you know, it's hard to be consistent with thinking in terms of progression rather than making everything black and white. You're either good or you're evil. You know, it's all either or. Rather than realizing that recovery is sort of about just keep going. You stumble and there's good days and bad days, but that doesn't mean you're either good or evil in who you are. And so, I, that's part of his struggle, I think, that's going on. It's just progressing.
Okay. He said his insight was this, that acting out is not who I am. Hmm. Acting out is not who I am. It's what I've done. It's what I fall back to. It's been thrilling, but I'm not that person. I am much more. I am made to be much more. I'm designed for much more. I have a heart for much more. I am much bigger than the acting out struggling guy.
And notice how this guy's insight is breaking away from either or thinking. Because a lot of times what guys do is they say, if I'm acting out, I'm evil. If I'm not acting out, I'm good. And it's all or nothing. It's either or. And this guy's saying, but wait a second, acting out is not who I am. That's not who what my true identity is. I'm told that my life is hidden with Christ in God. I am more than that. I have an identity that goes deeper than even my behaviors, good or bad. And so I think he's learning here that life is not simply about behavior. It goes deeper. His identity is deeper than that. And that's so powerful for a guy to learn that.
So finally, number 12, the obstacle in the life of male number 12 is forgiving myself. I know what I've done. I was there every time it was done. I know that I've created a mess. I've embarrassed myself, my family. I've done things that I don't want to speak of, and I don't know if I can forgive myself very well.
This is common to a lot of guys, I think. You know, it's one thing for us to go, well, yeah, God forgives me. We just kind of, we're going to accept that, but sometimes we don't even accept that. But it seems easier because we go, well, he's God, he's perfect. It's no big deal for a perfect God to do something like that. But we look at how imperfect we are. We look at how you know, tossed to and fro that we are in life, and we just go, I think part of it is we say, we have a perfection mentality and say, well, I can't hold perfection, so I'll just perpetually shame myself. Instead of saying, well, I can't hold perfection, and thank God that He, the perfect one, has given me all that I need, that He says I'm forgiven, that He says I'm loved, that He says I'm cherished. And so I don't, as I'm tossed back and forth, I don't have to, I can rest in His forgiveness and not have to keep holding my sin over my head.
And that segues very well into this, his insight he shared. He said, I'm learning the power of prayer, of being in prayer, of communing with the Father, of receiving nurturance and sustenance from the Father in prayer.
Well, and think about how that fits with his obstacle. You know, when you pray, I mean, there's a connection with the lover of your soul. And so prayer is so powerful for just keeping us in tune with God and to realize that at any moment in time, I'm told that I can come boldly before the throne of grace. I mean, that's powerful for helping a guy rest in the forgiveness that God has had and not look at it as, oh, I can't forgive myself. I can't break free from this. Well, no, the one who sees all has said you're forgiven. And to pray to him, there's this powerful connection that can break free, help us break free from those shaming thoughts.
Well, that concludes our obstacles and insights discussion. We have a few minutes left for the program, so I'm going to shift the focus now to a couple of insights I would like to share with you. And in one of the sessions this weekend, a gentleman, a wonderful gentleman, if he's listening, shared this insight that was just very simple and very powerful. And so I'm going to start a new section of the program because there's always some guy saying, well, what do I do? You always talk about these problems. What do I do? And so we're going to call this, for the guys, the What Do I Do section. Now, if you haven't seen Bruce Willis movie, there's a line in there that all the guys at the retreat know. It's where young Bruce asks old Bruce. Old Bruce is an image consultant.
And the movie is The Kid.
Right.
It's Disney's The Kid.
And so old young Bruce says to old Bruce, young Bruce has told him, I'm an image consultant, okay? And so the young part of him is saying, but what do you do? So we play off that. So this is the What Do I Do section of today's program. And this is what the gentleman shared. He said, I have started listening to my wife. I started really using all of my resources, all of my being, not half listening. I have started listening to my wife. And he said, I took it a step further. I have a piece of paper and a pencil. And when she says something I want to remember, I write it down. I have fully embraced listening to my wife, and I am writing down things that are descriptors, indicator, wants and needs of my wife. This concludes the What Do I Do section of today's program.
When I remember this guy telling me that, and he was so passionate about sharing this with us. It was like his eyes lit up, and it was like he found a treasure in this concept of listening to his wife. Now, some of you listening out there might go, well, big, listen to your wife. How can this possibly be such an amazing insight? But you know what? When you understand how self-centered and disconnected and isolated guys are who developed a sexual addiction, this can be an amazing discovery for a guy on his recovery to look and realize what a treasure it is to actually listen to his wife, how much value and insight and intimacy is found in that simple activity of listening to his wife. And I love the way he said it too, because when he was talking about it, his eyes lit up even more, and he said, and you know what? Sometimes when she says certain things, I'll go in the other room and write it down. So it's almost like he's keeping sort of this kind of secret journal that says, I want to listen so well that I remember things that later on I can go, I can bless her by repeating that back to her or giving what she wants, because she's giving me clues all the time in everything that she's saying about who she is and what she wants and what meets her needs. And this guy's making a wife journal, you know, a journal of his wife, so that he can go back and pore over that even when she's not around, and he can, you know.
And let's think about that as an idea, because sometimes we stir up thought, and sometimes we have 1, 2, 3 lists. This is really powerful to really get to know someone, because you don't have to start from the beginning and say, okay, when were you born, what year, and go all the way. You can just start right here, right now, and start to create your own journal about your wife.
And I think it's important to start right now, because wouldn't you say, Stephen, sometimes when you do that, do all the historical inventory of where'd you go to school and all those kinds, that sometimes it can create sort of a false notion of who that person is now based on what they were then.
Yes, and because, I've heard this said, and I'm not the same person.
Exactly.
You know,
so start where you are now, and start listening now to the person who's directly in front of you. Start listening to your wife now, and you know what? That historical stuff, you can certainly go into that, but who is she now? And really start listening for her heart now.
And I thought it's such a simple concept, but this is a true thing that happens when I teach relationship class. Some man will always ask me, what do I do?
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, you have spent your whole life not listening, so in 5 minutes I'm supposed to retrain you? No, you know what to do. Do all the simple little things and practice them every day until you're good at them. And this is one of the big ones. Listen. Don't talk. Don't fix. Don't interrupt. Don't clarify every word. Don't haggle what day, what time, what month, what season. Let her talk. Listen for important things that she's repeating about herself. So serve well your God and your wife, gentlemen.
Well, we hope this has been a helpful broadcast with lots of insights packed into it. If you'd like to contact us, share your story with us, and maybe just receive some more help along your own journey, please call us or email us. We'd be glad to hear from you. We look forward to having you back here again next week when we come at you with the Pure Sex Radio broadcast.
You've been listening to Pure Sex Radio, training men, educating women. Learn more about our show at puresexradio.com. Thanks for tuning in to today's broadcast. We want to hear from you. This broadcast is not possible without the prayers and financial support of listeners like you. Our mailing address is coming up. Get your pens ready. You can also contact us by phone at 1-800-49-PURITY. That's 1-800-49-PURITY. Our mailing address for your notes and donations is Pure Sex Radio, 1800 Northeast Loop 410, Suite 401, San Antonio, Texas 78217. Pure Sex Radio is paid for by Be Broken Ministries. Visit us online at puresexradio.com.